Our second scripture reading this morning comes to us from the book of Exodus, chapter 1, verse 22, through chapter 2, verse 10. Hear now the word of the Lord. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, "Every boy that is born to the Hebrews you shall throw into the Nile, but you shall let every girl live." Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a fine baby, she hid him for 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and plastered it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds on the bank of the river. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, while her attendants walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid to bring it. When she opened it, she saw the child. He was crying, and she took pity on him. "This must be one of the Hebrews' children," she said. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Yes." So the girl went and called the child's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child and nurse it for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed it. When the child grew up, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and she took him as her son. She named him Moses because, she said, "I drew him out of the water." This is the word of the Lord. Okay, so I don't usually pull out my Hebrew, but the last verse of the reading is Karashem Moshe Amar Mashamayim. The pun is the similarity between Moshe, Moses, and Masha, the verb drawn out, Moshe, Masha. There's some neat foreshadowing here because at first it's Pharaoh's daughter who draws Moses out of the Nile, but later it is Moses himself who draws his people out of Egypt. The name is especially clever because in Egyptian, the same name means son or is born. I think it's really cool that the name Moses manages to be deeply symbolic in two languages, representing what Moses meant to the two different cultures he lived in between. But anyway, so Pharaoh was not a good leader, to put it mildly. He was perfectly content to have an entire ethnic population live in slavery, and he's very clear about the way he sees them as being subhuman. Several months before our story this morning, he decreed that all baby boys born to the Israelites should be killed. At first, he said that baby boys should be killed by midwives. But midwives like Shifra and Pua found ways to get around that decree. Now he has ordered all his people that any and all boys born to the Hebrew slaves shall be thrown into the Nile. Technically, Moses' mother Jochebed has obeyed this decree. Probably not to the satisfaction of Pharaoh because her child survives, but technically she was ordered to send her son away in the waters of the Nile, and technically, she did do that, even if she couldn't bring herself to kill her child outright. When he is born, Jochebed sees that her son is good. Our Bible translates the line, "She saw that he was a fine baby," which I've always thought was an odd phrase. But in Hebrew, the verse echoes the poetry of the second creation story, in which God creates all things out of nothing and saw that they were good. Here, Jochebed creates a child from her own body and, like God, sees that he is good. And I think that this moment is really beautiful, not just because a woman echoes the words of God, but because the very first words that Moses hears, long before he could understand them, are a declaration that he is good, that he is cherished, that he is inherently valuable, that he is a child of God. For the entire length of Jochebed's pregnancy, she wouldn't have known whether her child would be a boy born with a death sentence over his head, or whether her child would be a girl permitted to live and grow up a slave. When she sees that her child is male, she knows that Pharaoh wants him to die, because Pharaoh doesn't think that Hebrew boys deserve life. Jochebed holds a child in her arms, whom she knows has already been condemned to die, and she tells him that Pharaoh is wrong. The law is wrong. He is good. He is loved. His life matters. Without having to give anything in return, he is a child of God, no matter how little he is valued by the society he was born into. All children deserve to hear those promises of unconditional love. She weaves him a little basket and makes it watertight, and she sets it on the water to float away towards an uncertain future. She had no guarantee that he would survive. He might be snapped up by a crocodile before Miriam can intervene. His basket might be knocked over by a hippopotamus coming up for air. A snake might slither in beside him. Any Egyptian might retrieve the basket, pull out the child inside, and throw him unprotected into the water to drown. Maybe Jochebed and Miriam had reason to believe that Pharaoh's daughter would be sympathetic to their plight, and maybe they deliberately placed the basket in the water near her bathing place. But even so, Pharaoh might well object to his daughter's actions and have the child killed. It seems dangerous to raise a child in the household of a man who wants that child dead. There are a lot of details that didn't make it into the Bible, so there is a long rabbinic tradition of filling in some of the gaps. Pharaoh's daughter is never given a name in the Bible, but in the ancient tradition of Jewish rabbis, she is called Batya, which means daughter of God. In this tradition, Batya loves her son so much that she is accepted into his birth family, converts to Judaism, and travels with the Israelites when they leave Egypt. When Batya sees the baby in the basket, she does not coo, "Oh, a baby!" She says, "This must be one of the Hebrew children." She knows that her father has ordered the deaths of all Hebrew baby boys. She can quickly deduce that someone is trying to spare this baby that fate by placing him in a basket. Her choice to save the baby's life is a deliberate choice made in defiance of her own father's decree. Will she be punished? Will the child be taken and killed? Batya's decision to rescue and adopt the baby in the basket is not a cute prologue to an action-packed story. It is a brave and potentially dangerous choice, and a powerful testament to her belief that Hebrew lives matter and should not be thrown away. Moses grows up to be a great hero, But he is not the only hero of the book of Exodus. And he would never have lived to encounter God in a burning bush, or to lead his people across the sea, or to present the commandments to the Israelites, if it hadn't been for five women. The midwives, Shiphrah and Puah, sabotaged Pharaoh's decrees and refused to kill the baby boys they delivered. Moses' mother, Jochebed, hid her son for 3 months until she took a chance by letting the Nile take him to an uncertain future. Moses' sister, Miriam, stood by her brother and arranged for him to be nursed and raised by his own people. Pharaoh's daughter, Batya, defied her father and intentionally raised a slave as a prince. Heroes don't come out of nowhere. They are influenced by the families and communities and cultures that form who they are. When we stand up for each other, when we refuse to accept a system in which groups of people are condemned at birth to live lives of poverty and pain, when we recognize that God made all people and saw that they were good, when we lift up the truth that the lives of minorities and the lives of the poor and the lives of immigrants matter, when we wade into troubled waters to protect the vulnerable, then we are taking our place in God's story and preparing a way to welcome more people into the love of God.